County Clerk Office, Tuesday, 8:57 a.m., April 16, 2024. The hallway smells like copier toner and coffee. A first-time candidate clutches a folder of forms, signatures, and a cashier's check for the filing fee. The clock above the window reads 8:59. The cutoff is 9. The clerk asks for one more page the candidate has never heard of. A residency affidavit. The candidate's jaw drops. The line behind them grows restless. The clerk is courteous but firm. No affidavit. No filing. The candidate sprints to a public notary 2 floors down. The elevator stalls. The minute hand moves. Across the country, similar clocks decide who appears on a ballot. The big barrier is not always ideology. Often it is paperwork, timing, and rules written for people who already know the rules. Before voters ever weigh in, quiet filters are already at work. Who passes them? Who does not? Chapter 1, Setup and Stakes. The Gate Before the Gate. County Clerk Office, Franklin County. 9:14 a.m., April 16, 2024. The elevator doors open and the candidate returns, breathless, with a fresh residency affidavit. The fluorescent lights hum. A wall clock ticks with small, decisive clicks. The clerk squares the stack of forms and begins again. Page edges line up under a metal ruler. The clerk checks names, addresses, and dates in a steady rhythm learned over many filing seasons. When the clerk reaches the petition sheets, the pencil stops. One signature line shows a street that falls 2 houses outside the ward. The map confirms it. The sheet loses 4 names. The total drops below the minimum by 1. The clerk is courteous and precise. The code is the code. The candidate nods, listens, and accepts the result. There will be no ballot line this year. Underrepresentation is often measured at the end of a race. Analysts count who holds office. They note gender gaps, racial gaps, class gaps, and gaps for people with disabilities. This chapter steps backward to the starting line. The first filter is a door made of rules. The door sits inside offices that look like this one. The rules are printed on websites and taped to windows. They are not secret. They are also not simple in practice for people who do not live inside politics. Ballot access rules do necessary work. They prevent last-minute chaos. They set a floor for seriousness. They keep residency honest. They structure a calendar. They hold up the scaffolding that an election needs. The question is not whether rules should exist. The question is who the rules assume as the user, and what resources that user has before the first form is picked up. Start with signatures. A petition requirement can look small on paper. A district might ask for 100 valid signatures. On a smooth day, that sounds like 2 hours at a park. The reality is slower. People sign with nicknames that do not match the voter roll. Apartments are written without unit numbers. Dates are missed. Ward lines wiggle through streets and split neighborhoods in quiet ways that only appear on the map. A new volunteer learns all of this while standing on a sidewalk with a clipboard and a pen that runs out at the wrong moment. A careful campaign builds a buffer. If the minimum is 100, the target becomes 250 to absorb inevitable errors. That turns a short task into a month of weekends. It requires a car or a bus plan. It requires printed maps that show the ward border and the precinct splits. It requires training for volunteers who will knock on doors and ask for help with a goal that may feel abstract to a stranger who has never seen the candidate's name before. It requires a home base with a table, tape, highlighters, and a checklist that becomes calmer with each line that turns from blank to checked. Now look at residency. Rules vary. Some clocks start on the day a candidate files. Some clocks start months earlier. Some define residency by nights spent. Some define it by intent to remain. Some tie it to voter registration. A renter moves across a street for a lower rent and does not notice that the line on a map has changed. A homeowner closes on a new place and updates a license next month because the DMV line is long today. A candidate learns that an intention to return to an old address is not enough. The clock stops. The race cannot start. Filing fees look small in a city budget context. A fee might be $200. A household that has extra money can pay it the same day. A household on a narrow budget looks at the fee and counts what does not get paid on time. The fee is not the only cost. A notary visit adds a small charge, unless the office offers it for free. A background check may carry a charge. Copies and scans add up. Gas is a cost. Time off work is a cost. a sitter is a cost. These small numbers stack. They decide who can attempt a run without risking a rent deadline or a grocery bill. Deadlines add pressure. A filing window might last 2 weeks. The form list is long. Some documents must be gathered in person. Offices have hours that match business hours. That makes sense for staff. It is hard for a candidate whose job does not offer flexible time. A person who works a 9-to-5 shift will need to trade hours, ask for a favor, or lose pay. An hourly worker in a service job may have little control over a schedule written by someone who has never run for public office and does not plan to start. Language matters. Many offices publish forms in one language. Some publish in more. A person who reads and speaks English at work may still struggle with legal phrasing. A person who speaks another language at home may rely on a friend to translate a paragraph about affidavits and penalties for errors. A single sentence with a technical term can make a candidate pause and question whether they belong in the process. An office that adds plain language guides reduces this pause. An office that adds translation and phone support reduces it further. Disability access is a basic requirement. It is also a practical test. Are the posted documents readable by a screen reader? Do the forms accept digital signatures that are valid under the code for people who cannot sign by hand? Are there in-person accommodations for hearing and mobility? Are the office doors wide, the counters at variable heights, and the staff trained to slow down and explain without condescension? A candidate should not need to file a separate request to meet ordinary needs at the filing window. When access is built in, more residents can approach. Consider geography. Rural districts spread across miles. A ward may include roads where houses sit far apart. A city may include tall buildings with buzzers that make petitioning hard after dark. A college town may empty in summer. A tourist town may flood with short-term visitors who cannot sign. Each pattern changes the math for signatures and the plan for outreach. A campaign that understands the ground still needs time and people to walk it. A newcomer campaign has to learn the ground and learn the rules at the same time. Now return to the Franklin County hallway. The candidate did many things right. The candidate carried a folder with labeled dividers. The candidate had a cashier's check for the fee. The candidate brought a fresh affidavit from a notary 2 floors down. The candidate organized volunteers, kept lists, and stayed on the calendar. The miss was small and human. A volunteer stood at the corner where the ward turns mid-block. The volunteer was careful. The map was confusing at a glance. The candidate reviewed names and dates and overlooked the tiny detail that the street number 2 houses down fell outside the line. It would be simple to say the candidate should have known better. It would be simple to say the rule is neutral and the error is on the campaign. Both statements miss how systems work when built by and for people who already play inside them. The clerk did not act to keep anyone out. The clerk followed the code in public view. The code works as designed when the user knows its shape. Many residents do not. A public system that expects insider knowledge will favor insiders. The same pattern appears in how the process is taught. In some places, political parties run candidate schools. They explain the rules and share checklists. That is helpful. It is also selective. Those seats often go to people already connected to local networks. Community groups sometimes run nonpartisan trainings. Those are helpful too. They depend on grant cycles and volunteer energy. Libraries and community colleges can act as neutral hubs for this knowledge. They can post calendars, kits, and maps that reduce the chance that a small error kills a run. A fair question appears here. Are fewer names on a ballot always a bad sign? Not always. A community may be satisfied with current leadership. A district may be small. A race may be technical, and few people may want the job. The concern rises when patterns hold across years in unrelated places. When new voices start runs and fail in the same early ways, you do not need to assume conspiracy to notice design. The filters do not decide ideology. They decide who gets far enough to bring ideas to voters. Ballot challenges add another layer. After a campaign files, an opponent can review petitions and file objections. This is part of the process. It keeps fraud out. It can also become a game of razor-thin cuts. Handwriting is compared. Abbreviations are questioned. Dates that look messy are scrutinized. If an office lacks staff to support both accuracy and speed, a new campaign can lose a week to a slow review while trying to recruit volunteers for the next phase. Legal help is useful here. legal help costs money. A newcomer campaign that raised a few hundred dollars will not spend it on an attorney for a preventive review. Technology is a mixed blessing. Some jurisdictions allow online petition packets, digital maps with overlays, and electronic filing. These tools reduce friction if they are designed well. If they are designed poorly, they hide the same rules behind screens and logins that crash at peak hours. A login that times out after 5 minutes punishes anyone who types slowly or reads twice to be safe. A form that does not save progress punishes anyone who is interrupted by a child, a customer, or a manager who needs a task done now. Good design thinks about real life. It makes room for it. What does a better front door look like? It starts with clarity. Offices can publish a single-page checklist that uses plain sentences and defines every term. The checklist sits next to a calendar that starts 6 months before the filing window. It tells a new candidate when to order maps, when to learn the ward edge, when to start petitions, and when to review every sheet with a fresh eye. It assigns buffer time for errors. It suggests how many signatures to gather to protect against losses during review. It adds a note on how to recruit friends to check for small mistakes. It includes a map tool that warns a user when an address sits close to a line. The tool blinks a soft outline and suggests caution on that block. It explains how apartment numbers should be written. It explains that a nickname may not match a voter roll. It shows how to read a street list that election offices use at the polls. It does this without jargon. It does this in multiple languages. It works on a small phone screen held in one hand on a windy sidewalk. It continues with access. Offices can post notary hours that stretch during filing week. They can add Saturday hours for the last weekend. They can train extra staff for that week to answer questions in person and by phone. They can accept digital appointments, so a person with a tight work schedule can know that a clerk will be ready at a specific time. None of this lowers standards. All of it respects lives that do not bend around a government calendar. It includes budgets that account for translation and accessibility from the start. A county can fund the translation of guides into major languages in the community. A city can build screen reader-tested forms. A rural office can partner with a library to host a printer and a scanner so a candidate without a home office can copy and upload without delay. A small grant can pay for a few hours of childcare during a training night. That small grant pays itself back in the form of more names on a ballot and more voters who feel that the system is theirs. It ends with data. Offices can publish how many candidates started the filing process and how many finished. They can publish aggregate reasons for rejection without naming residents. They can track how many petitions failed for signature count, how many failed on residency clocks, and how many failed on technical errors that could have been prevented with better guides. They can post year-over-year charts so the public can see progress and push for fixes where numbers do not move. Return again to the Franklin County stairwell. The candidate walks down with a folder that is lighter by a few sheets and heavier with the knowledge of what to do next time. The clerk closes the window for lunch and files a memo that lists common errors seen this week. The memo will help the next person if it becomes a public note on the office website with plain language. It will help more if a staff meeting turns it into a new checklist on a single sheet of paper at the counter. A community cannot promise that every person who wants to run will qualify. It can promise that the rulebook is clear, the door is level, and the map is readable by a person who works a shift, cares for a child, or uses a screen reader. It can promise that a missed apartment number will be caught by a guide before it becomes a lost sheet at a window. It can promise that a person who asks a question will get an answer without judgment. The conversation about representation starts here. It starts with a pen that works, a map that makes sense, a fee that does not block a month of groceries, and a door that opens during a time when a person who sweeps a floor, stocks a shelf, or drives a route can walk through. It starts with a clerk who has the tools to help and the time to explain. It starts with a candidate who believes the system will treat them as a neighbor with a right to try. When that belief is justified, more names reach the ballot. Voters then choose from people who survived a test of ideas and effort, not a test of jargon and schedule luck. That is a cleaner measure of a community's will. That is a fairer way to decide whose voice will carry the work of a council seat, a school board, or a state house bench. Strong exit line. Before the first yard sign goes up, the race has already lost runners. Chapter 2, Escalation and Reversal. The grind few can finance. City Campaign Finance Office, Wednesday, 10:30 a.m., May 29, 2024. The newcomer campaign arrives with a binder and two laptops. The treasurer sets a paper folder on the counter and asks for a quick check on the first disclosure. A staffer points to the online portal and a posted schedule of deadlines. The staffer stays helpful and brief. The line behind the team grows. The treasurer nods and steps aside. The binder opens on a bench. The first task is to enter every dollar received with dates, occupations, and addresses. The treasurer reads the instructions twice. The portal times out after 5 minutes of inactivity. The first sign that the next phase of running is a daily test shows up as a polite error message on a gray screen. Money arrives in small shapes. A neighbor gives $20 in cash at a barbecue. A cousin gives $50 online. A former classmate gives $100 and writes a note about hope for the school board. The law treats each gift with equal care. The campaign must record the giver's full name, address, employer, and occupation. The campaign must track the date and the method. If a giver wants to remain private, the campaign must explain that state code requires public reporting above a small threshold. A few supporters decide not to give. A few give anyway. The candidate thanks them. The treasurer adds cells to a spreadsheet and types slowly and carefully. The first narrative about viability appears at this point. Media desks and party clubs watch early filings. They look for a pattern of support. They read totals. A campaign that posts a few hundred dollars in its first report risks a label. The word "not viable" floats across a room in a quiet aside. It shapes how staff choose where to work after day jobs. It shapes whether a debate slot will be offered or withheld. It shapes whether a civic group will invite the newcomer to a forum in a school gym or a library meeting room. The candidate learns to ask for money on the phone. The script fits on one index card. It has three parts. State the reason. State the request. Stay quiet. The silence is the hard part. The person on the other end thinks. The candidate grips the card and waits. Some calls end in a pledge. Some calls end with a kind no. A few end with a quick promise to check back that never lands. The candidate logs each outcome. The candidate keeps the voice steady and respectful. The list has 60 names tonight. The first 20 calls take 2 hours. The candidate looks at the clock and at the next 40 lines and keeps going. The party system offers help and presents a second layer of gates. Endorsements open doors. They unlock volunteer lists. They bring a photographer for headshots. They add weight to a debate invitation. They also come with traditions and understandings that are not posted on websites. Club officers remember favors from past races. Committee members look for signs that a newcomer can be trusted with a shared banner. The newcomer has ideas and energy. The newcomer lacks the years of shared rooms where trust is built. The newcomer sits near the end of a table and speaks when called. People listen and smile. Votes happen. The newcomer notes the result and thanks the room. Debate thresholds arrive as polite emails. A host group lists criteria. A campaign must poll above a small number. A campaign must raise a minimum total by a date. The group explains that time is limited and the stage must be manageable for viewers. The campaign does not have a poll. A poll costs thousands of dollars. The campaign tries to meet the money rule. The date lands between two filing deadlines and a school concert for the candidate's child. The treasurer updates the totals. The total stands a few hundred dollars short. The debate stage holds two podiums. The newcomer watches from a seat two rows back and takes notes on answers to policy questions that the newcomer knows as well as the people on stage. Compliance takes hours that a newcomer does not have. Each transaction must be entered and checked. In-kind support must be valued at a fair market rate. A friend who designs a flyer as a favor must be recorded as a donor. A neighbor who bakes cookies for volunteers must be recorded if the tray goes to the office and not a living room. Late filing fees are small in unit size. They are large to a campaign that counts every dollar. The first late warning arrives by email on a Friday at 4:52 p.m. The deadline is 5. The treasurer sees it at 4:54. The portal is slow. The file fails to upload and throws an error at 4:59. The office is closed. The fee posts on Monday morning. The campaign pays it by noon. The candidate thanks the treasurer for the weekend spent on the phone trying to fix what a faster screen could have prevented. Time is the invisible currency. A day on the trail starts before sunrise. The candidate checks emails at 6. the candidate drops a child at school at 7:30. The candidate answers 3 calls while parked outside the building. A shift at work begins at 8. The boss has been patient. The boss needs orders filled today. The candidate moves boxes and checks barcodes. A lunch hour becomes a door shift in a dense block close to the warehouse. 2 doors open. 5 doors do not. A dog barks at a window and a child waves through the glass. The candidate smiles and waves back. The candidate returns to work on time. The ankles ache. The day ends at 5. The campaign day begins again at 5:15. Caregiving adds weight to every hour. The candidate's parent has an appointment at 3 on Thursday. The office of a doctor is 20 minutes away on a good day. Traffic is heavy. The appointment runs late. The candidate arrives at a forum at 6:12 with notes that feel out of order. The moderator calls the meeting to attention at 6:15. The candidate's voice tightens in the first answer and settles by the second. A person in the fourth row wears a sticker from another campaign and nods at a good line about sidewalks and snow removal. The candidate notices and stands a little straighter. Childcare is a recurring line item that many campaigns cannot afford. Evening canvases line up with dinner and bedtime. A sitter needs pay. A neighbor can help on some nights and cannot help on others. A forum at 7 p.m. lands on the same night as a school concert. The campaign chooses the forum. The candidate asks for a recording of the concert from a friend. The friend sends it with 2 heart emojis and a note that says, "You were missed." The candidate watches the video at 11:40 p.m. on a couch with a cold cup of tea. Transportation also costs. A car needs gas and tires. A bus pass costs less in dollars and more in minutes. A bike breaks a chain on day 9 of a 20-day sprint and loses a day to a repair. A rideshare to a late forum adds a surge fee. The campaign payment spreadsheet records it, and the treasurer asks for a note on purpose for the next report. Every line in the spreadsheet has a story. Some lines show hope. Some lines show strain. All lines must be accurate. The midpoint turn arrives as a rule change with a good purpose and a hard edge. The city issues guidance that the voter information pamphlet will be translated into several languages. The cost will be shared by campaigns in a pro rata fee added to the filing bill. The goal is equity. The notice arrives with 2 weeks to spare. The fee lands next week. The campaign has $1,200 in the bank. The translation share is $800. The team gathers in a living room under a ceiling fan that clicks once every rotation. The treasurer reads the notice aloud. The candidate looks at the wall calendar. The only way through is to cut printing for the next round. The team votes to pay the translation invoice and send volunteers to doors without fresh literature for a week. The change is not a scandal. It is not meant to block anyone. It still functions as a barrier for a small campaign. The fix would be simple on paper. The city budget could cover translation as a core election function. The cost could be shared across all races through general funds. The translation would still happen. The campaign would not have to choose between a fair language policy and a stack of leaflets. That fix is not in place this cycle. The volunteers fold the last of the old batch and write short notes by hand in the margins to stretch the pile. Meanwhile, endorsements shift the ground again. A breakfast meeting at a diner leads to a key nod for a rival. The nod brings access to a donor list and a volunteer team with clipboards ready. The newcomer campaign builds its own list by asking friends to share 3 names each. It works. It is slower. The door scripts move from a loose conversation to a structured message with a clear ask. The hit rate improves. The day still ends with a stack of addresses not reached and a sun that sets earlier as the season turns. Compliance makes the night longer. Bank statements need reconciliation. A $10 cash contribution must be matched to a donor card. The card is missing a street number. The treasurer calls the donor at 9:20 p.m. The donor apologizes and provides the address. The treasurer enters it and adds a note that the information was updated with consent. The portal accepts the change. The treasurer exhales. The candidate thanks the treasurer again. The treasurer says good night and closes the laptop at 9:47. A parallel path shows how resources change the arc. Another newcomer in a near district starts with a mentor who served 2 terms on the council. The mentor hands over a set of forms and a timeline that worked. The mentor introduces the newcomer to a group that teaches compliance with case studies. The newcomer hits the first deadline with room to spare. the newcomer secures a match for small donations through a city program. The newcomer books translation through a vendor that offers a reduced rate because the city placed a bulk order. The difference is not talent. The difference is a bridge into a system that explains itself. Staff must be paid when the load grows. A field organizer can lift the daily weight. The rate for a good organizer is fair for the skill involved. The campaign cannot pay it without cutting other needs. The solution becomes a string of part-time volunteers who can give 3 hours on Saturday and 1 hour on Wednesday night. They do good work. They also need training. Training takes time that the candidate and the treasurer do not have. Turnover creates a cycle. The candidate sets up a binder with maps and scripts that anyone can use. The binder helps. It cannot replace a steady hand at the door. Media coverage arrives in small, polite forms. A neighborhood paper runs short profiles of all candidates. The rival's profile includes 2 photos and a quote from a high-profile supporter. The newcomer's profile includes 1 photo and 1 quote from a teacher who liked the newcomer's recent talk about crosswalks. The article is fair. The effect is real. The rival looks stronger on the page. The newcomer keeps walking and knocking. A voter asks about a transit issue that the newcomer knows well. The conversation runs 5 minutes and ends with a nod and a promise to read more. The promise may hold. It may not. The work continues. The grind reveals another pattern. People with flexible jobs and deep networks can attend weekday meetings at noon. People with hourly jobs and young children cannot. A board votes on debate format at noon. The decision favors candidates who can respond quickly with scheduling options. The newcomer sends a response at 4:30. The slots are gone. The moderator thanks the newcomer for the reply and invites a statement to be read at the event. The newcomer sends one. The audience hears the words without a face or a voice. The effect is smaller than a live answer would have been. The weight can be measured in small choices. The candidate chooses between a fundraiser at a coffee shop and a shift that will cover a utility bill. The candidate chooses between a weekend trip to a neighboring town to meet a group of allied organizers and a day with a child at a park. The candidate chooses between a night of data entry and a night of sleep. Every choice has a cost. None of the choices are heroic or tragic. They are ordinary and constant. They accumulate until the campaign either adapts or breaks. A reversal arrives from an unexpected place. A civic association that usually invites only endorsed candidates decides to open its forum. The reason is simple. Members want to hear from every person who filed. The email lands at 8:03 a.m. on a Monday. The candidate reads it twice and smiles. The association will provide microphones and a timekeeper. It will record and post the full video with captions. It will offer childcare in a side room with a volunteer teacher who passed a background check. The cost to the campaign is $0. The effect is large. The newcomer prepares a 2-minute opening that is clear and calm. The room is full. The rival speaks well. The newcomer speaks well. Voters clap for both. A small barrier falls for one evening. That night shows how design can help. The association made a choice to spend time and money to include every candidate. It did not lower any standards. It raised the standard for access. The impact of that one choice ripples across a precinct. A resident who never considered the newcomer watches the video on a phone. The captioning helps a person with hearing loss. The childcare helps a parent attend in person and shake the newcomer's hand. The newcomer's campaign gains 5 new volunteers from the sign-in table. 2 bring clipboards to the next door shift. The hit rate improves again. The campaign still faces the structural load. Donor networks remain uneven. Endorsements remain powerful. Compliance remains complex. The team looks for small wins that compound. A neighborhood leader offers to host a house meeting with 10 neighbors. The event costs nothing. The candidate listens more than speaks. The neighbors ask about trash pickup and alley lighting. The candidate does not overpromise. The neighbors notice the restraint. 2 neighbors agree to serve as precinct captains for election day. The binder gains 2 more tabs. As the reporting period closes, the treasurer finishes the 2nd disclosure. The totals are modest and honest. The report includes a small late fee that the team paid after the Friday upload failed. The treasurer adds a note in the file with steps to avoid the same error next quarter. The portal accepts the upload at 3:12 p.m. on a Thursday. The office confirms receipt. The treasurer texts a small thumbs up. The team replies with thank you messages and an offer to deliver dinner. The chapter closes with a simple measure. The campaign is still alive. The candidate has not withdrawn. The name still sits in the system with a green status. The newcomer has learned how to enter a donation, ask for a pledge, schedule a canvas, and correct a filing error. The rival still holds more endorsements and more money. The gap remains wide. The question shifts from whether the newcomer can remain in the race to whether the newcomer can reach enough voters to matter. That is the next test. It will happen on streets, at doors, in rooms with microphones, and in the quiet space where a voter marks a choice. Strong exit line. Even after the paperwork gate opens, the price of staying in the race keeps rising. Repetition audit. Only brief reminders of Chapter 1's filing barriers. No repeated scenes or lines. Chapter 3, Resolution and Aftermath. Opening the path on purpose. Election Printing Center, Monday, 6:10 a.m., August 19, 2024. The press is warm. A technician watches the first proof slide under a yellow inspection lamp. Names settle into columns. The ballot does not explain itself. It does not show who almost made it. It does not show the rules that bent quietly in the months before this morning. It shows a finish list. That list is the public face of a long private filter. A fair system protects against fraud and confusion. It also makes room for people who do not begin with insider knowledge, spare hours, or extra cash. That balance is not abstract. It is a set of small design choices that add up. A fee set one notch lower. A guide that uses plain words. A door that opens on a Saturday morning during filing week. A training held at a library with childcare in a side room. None of these choices decide who wins. They decide who gets to try. Start with clarity. Every jurisdiction can publish a one-page start kit 6 months before the filing window. The kit begins with a calendar. It lists specific dates for maps, petitions, affidavits, and fees. It adds a buffer for each task. It uses short sentences. It defines words like affidavit, precinct, and ward one time each. It includes a checklist that can be printed and taped to a refrigerator. A person who works a shift can read it at 10 at night after a late commute. A person who cares for a child can keep it on a counter and check one box at a time. The kit links to a map tool that flags edges. When a street sits near a line, the tool shows a soft warning. It suggests a second check for any signature from that block. It offers a street list that mirrors the poll book. It accepts a typed address and returns a clear message about which ward and precinct the signer belongs to. It loads on a phone over a slow connection. It works without a login. It saves a person from losing four names on a sheet because a line on a map shifts mid-block. Language access is a concrete fix. Offices can publish the start kit and forms in the languages that residents speak at home. Translation is not a luxury for a campaign to purchase. It is a core election function. The budget should pay for it. When offices build translation into their plan, a small campaign does not face a sudden bill that wipes out a month of work. Video explainers with captions can sit next to the print guides. A resident can watch a 2-minute clip on a phone during a lunch break and learn what a notary does and where to find one. Hours matter. Filing windows often match 9-to-5 office days. That schedule fits staff routines. It does not fit the lives of many workers. Offices can extend hours on 2 evenings during the final week. They can open on 1 Saturday morning. These shifts are predictable. They can be planned in staff schedules. They send a signal that residents who stock shelves, drive routes, or work on construction sites during the day are expected and welcome at the counter. Notary services can expand in the same way. Many documents require a stamp. When the only notary sits behind a window on the 3rd floor and works a short day, the process becomes fragile. Offices can partner with libraries to host notary hours. They can post clear maps and schedules. They can train a few extra staff for the filing month. A resident should be able to walk 2 blocks and find a seal without missing half a shift. Fees are another point of design. A filing fee that looks modest in a budget meeting can be a stop sign in a kitchen. Jurisdictions can set fee waivers or reductions for candidates who meet income thresholds. The standard can be clear and firm. The process can be simple and private. Some places tie a waiver to a higher signature target. That trade can be fair if the target is reachable. A waiver respected by offices and free of stigma opens the door for residents with ideas and energy who cannot spare cash without risking rent or food. Public financing and voucher programs change the shape of the grind. When residents receive small vouchers to assign to candidates, a newcomer can build support door by door. Small donations can be matched at a ratio that turns local belief into workable budgets. These programs require real audits and clear caps. They also require simple portals that do not crash at 4:59 on a Friday. When built well, they turn a small base into a viable start. They do not decide who wins. They decide who can hold a microphone at a debate without a private donor list. Compliance is the next design frontier. The law will remain detailed. The interface can carry more of the weight. A good portal saves progress without being asked. It warns gently before a timeout. It explains each field in simple words. It flags missing employer lines and offers a short reason. It checks for math errors. It exports a clean copy for records. It works on a phone. It accepts scanned images from a library printer. It sends a text when a deadline approaches. A system like this lowers late fees. It lowers the fear of an honest error. It returns hours to a kitchen table team that needs them more than anyone else. Childcare support is not a symbol. It is a tool. Public forums can offer a supervised room run by vetted staff or volunteers. Stipends can be available when childcare cannot be offered on site. The claim process can be as simple as a one-page form and a receipt. Candidates can disclose the stipend on reports to keep the record clean. A parent should not have to choose between a microphone and dinner with a child every week for 3 months. Some choices will still be hard. The default should not be impossible. Training pipelines turn interest into competence. Community colleges and libraries can host a candidate school each winter. The course can run one night a week for 6 weeks. It can cover petitions, maps, fees, compliance, message basics, and calendars. It can include a mock filing day with a walkthrough of every counter and every stamp. It can use local maps and real forms with sample names. Alumni can return to mentor. Offices can send staff to explain common errors and how to avoid them. A person who completes this course will make fewer mistakes. That lowers staff load and lowers conflict. Mentorship is the quiet multiplier. Former officials remember their first month. They can pass on checklists and date charts. They can introduce newcomers to groups that share rooms and build trust. They can explain unwritten norms so a newcomer does not sit at the end of a table for 3 months in silence. They can offer a phone call on a Friday at 4:58 when a portal stumbles and nerves rise. This is not a favor to a single person. It is stewardship of a civic culture. Accessibility must be built in from the start. Forms must work with screen readers. Videos must include captions and transcripts. Counters must be reachable. Phone lines must have call back options. Digital signatures must be allowed where the law permits them. People who cannot hold a pen or travel long distances should be able to complete filings without extra hurdles. When offices build access early, they avoid emergency patches later. They also earn trust. Data closes the loop. Many places do not track the full path from interest to filing to ballot. Offices can begin with a simple table. How many packets were picked up? How many were returned? How many were rejected? What were the top reasons? How many candidates withdrew after a late fee? How many asked for help and received it? These counts can be published each year. They can live in a two-page report with a short plain language note. The goal is not to assign blame. The goal is to reveal where small fixes would have large effects. Now return to the campaign from chapters 1 and 2. The newcomer survived the grind and remains on the list. The name sits on the proof. The rival sits higher on the page due to a ballot draw. The difference in order is a small factor. The difference in resources remains a large one. The newcomer's team has learned to use a shared calendar, a phone bank script, and a compliance portal without fear. They have also learned that a system built for the public can still feel like a private language. Election day is a clean test only when the start line is level. That is the point of this chapter. The aim is not to guarantee balance in money or media. The aim is to guarantee balance in access. When the door opens on a Saturday and forms explain themselves, more people walk through. When translation does not come with a surprise bill, more people stay in. When childcare exists at forums, more parents speak into microphones. When data is public, the conversation moves from rumor to fact. Cities and counties can move first. They do not need to wait for state codes to shift in every case. They can add hours. They can post guides. They can train staff to offer help without condescension. They can adopt software that saves before it times out. They can publish numbers. They can create small grants for community groups that run nonpartisan trainings. They can put a map on a phone that tells a volunteer to step two houses down before asking for a signature. Each change meets a specific stress seen in real rooms. State houses can move on structural items. They can set ceilings for filing fees that reflect local incomes. They can authorize digital signatures where security and record standards can be met. They can create statewide small donor match programs that respect local autonomy and demand clear audits. They can require that election guides be translated at public expense. They can standardize a basic layout for compliance portals so campaigns do not relearn the same interface 5 times in 5 counties. Parties and civic groups can change the culture around debates and endorsements. Stages can open to all qualified filers at least once. Thresholds can be used later for higher profile events. Criteria can be posted early in simple words. House meetings can supplement podium nights. Volunteers can be trained to welcome newcomers and explain schedule traditions. None of this erases judgment about who is ready to lead. It lets more neighbors meet more choices before judgment is made. There is also a role for media at every scale. Neighborhood papers and local radio shows can run practical explainers on filing and compliance. Reporters can request yearly data on filings and rejections. Editorial boards can push for public payment of translation and access features as part of the core election budget. Profiles can include a simple sentence about how candidates qualified. That sentence would remind readers that the list on the page came after a set of steps that not all neighbors could afford in time or money. Technology vendors can raise their bar. They can test portals with users who type slowly. They can build autosave that cannot be turned off by mistake. They can design forms that explain every error in plain words. They can set timeouts that fit real life. They can log problems and publish fixes. They can support libraries with training so staff can help residents upload a scan at a public computer without risk to privacy. Good tools are part of the public square even when a private company builds them. It helps to think in numbers and scenes at the same time. One more evening of filing hours each week during the window will serve hundreds of residents across a city in a decade. One translation plan will serve thousands. One clear map will save dozens of petition sheets each season. One child care room will allow dozens of parents to speak in public over a year. These numbers are not small. They describe a visible change in who feels welcome to stand and ask a community for its trust. Now look at what remains unknown. Many towns do not record how many people tried to run and gave up before visiting a counter. Many counties do not link late fees to withdrawal rates. Few states track how often ballot challenges succeed on technical errors rather than fraud or clear ineligibility. Without this, debates fill with stories that may be true in one place and wrong in another. Offices can start with what they have and build up. The press can ask for it. Residents can read it and demand better. Back at the printing center, a supervisor signs off on the last proof. The press speed increases to a steady clatter. Pallets stack with finished sheets. A worker in a blue jacket notes a clean run with no jams. The ballot will reach polling places by Friday. The list will sit on a table under a clear cover. Voters will read it and mark choices. The clean surface will not show the work behind it. That is how it should look to a voter on election day. The work to make that surface fair is what this chapter described. The newcomer stands in a small office and looks at a wall calendar with 3 weeks left. The team circles precincts for the final push. 2 new volunteers from the Civic Association Forum will take the south blocks. A neighbor with a van will run signs and water. A mentor from a past council meets the candidate for coffee and reviews a closing script that asks for trust without apology or swagger. The treasurer prints the last disclosure and posts it on the website with a short note about how to read a report. The candidate thanks everyone and goes to knock 4 more doors before dinner. Outcomes will vary. Some newcomers will win. Some will lose and try again. Some will learn and return as volunteers or mentors. The point is that more of them will reach a place where voters can decide. That is the definition of a healthy local democracy. It does not promise a perfect balance of identity or ideology. It promises a fair chance to appear and be heard. There is a quiet test for any fix proposed in this chapter. Ask whether a resident with a steady but inflexible job, a child at home, a modest budget, and no mentor could use it on a Tuesday in March without special favors? If the answer is yes, the fix is real. If the answer is maybe only with help from someone who already sits in the room, the fix is not enough. Use that test on fees, on maps, on portals, on hours, on debate rules, and on data. Use it each year. The press slows as the last stack finishes. The technician logs the run and powers down. The building grows quiet. The ballot is set. The story of how it was set is not over. Offices will review data. Councils will vote on budgets. Vendors will update code. Libraries will plan classes. Parties will send invites. Civic groups will book rooms. Residents will read kits and circle dates. The next cycle will begin in the minds of people who believe they can step forward without being turned away by a rule they could not see. The candidate from earlier walks past a window that reflects a simple scene. A person with a clipboard. A line of doors. A sky that looks ready for rain. The person keeps walking. The scene is ordinary. The meaning is not. The right to try matters. The work to make that right real is a duty that belongs to offices, parties, vendors, neighbors, and voters together. Strong exit line. The fairest test of a campaign is what happens after every resident can reach the starting line. Repetition audit. Prior barriers and grind referenced only to frame fixes. No repeated scenes or sentences from earlier chapters.